And welcome back, everybody, to another week of our Magnum Opus podcast. Happy February. I hope you all survived the snowstorm of the year so far over the weekend. I was shoveling out our newspapers for like 3 days. But today, I want to welcome a very special guest to our show. One of a face that we all recognize and someone that I think we all look up to, too. Please help me welcome Mara Gallagher to our show. Thanks again, Mara, for coming on by.
Well, it's good to be here.
And I'm really, really happy you're here because as camp director, I'm able to ask you, or music director, excuse me, I'm able to ask you a couple deeper questions about the camp that we're really, really excited to look at. So let's do a little bit of a warm up. Tell everybody how/when did you become involved in Opus?
Well, I became involved with Opus when I decided to sign my daughter up for camp. I think she was in fifth or sixth grade at that point. And it so happened that that week of the summer was totally free and she was interested in going. So I sent her then and she had fun. And it's funny because, you know, as a musician, I expected she would come home raving about all of the music stuff. And in fact, she came home raving about the flip-flops she made. But nevertheless, she learned the music and she had a fun time with her group and it was just a great performance. And then, you know, life happens and the summers got claimed with other activities. And then there was a summer when she was in high school and we had a week free again and it was week Opus, you know, for Opus. And so I signed her up again. And of course, you know, she had been practicing, so she was a much different level. And she had another great experience. She got to do, be in a really unusual chamber group. It was classical guitar, clarinet, and cello, and then violin. Oh my and God. They played this really cool operatic piece by Bottesini. I had never heard of it, but it was just beautiful. And she also took part in one of the arts connections at the camp, and that was dancing to music. And it's actually, I loved her performance. It was great. But the performance of, she also performed the dance with another camper and a teacher. And that was the most amazing part to me because it brought out a different part of her personality. And for her to stand in front of a group of all of her peers and dance away to music, like that just wasn't her, but it became her during the week. So I was so thrilled about that. And then of course I raved to the camp director, Dr. Linda Yu, about it because I just felt, you know, it was just a great thing to see as a parent. So anyway, then a year or two went by and, I did my own thing and then our summers got claimed with other things. And Linda said to me, hey, would you want to come teach at the camp and be the librarian? We have an opening. And I thought, okay, let me check my calendar. And I had the week free and then librarian is some extra time. I had little bit of time also. So I actually taught part-time for that first year. And then the next year, it came up that the music director job was open. And anyway, so that's the year that I became the music director. And then I've just been the director ever since. And it's a blast.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. That first ensemble you described of classical guitar, clarinet, violin, and cello, I believe, that is that kind of just describes Opus in a nutshell. And even if we've unfortunately had to move away from in-person this past year and maybe the next upcoming years, can you tell us a little bit about how Opus continues to offer the best chamber music camp experience while being virtual?
Yes, you know, the way Opus offers a great program while being virtual is doing what Opus has always done. And Opus has always, at the end of camp, collects input from the parents, the students, and the faculty about what they like best about camp, what they see, any opportunities for the future to improve, and then changes the program. So I think I mentioned my daughter made the flip-flops during her free time at camp that very first year when she was in about grade 5 or 6. Well, we don't do flip-flops anymore. I haven't seen any supplies in the office. So that disappeared a long time ago. But it, you know, evolves to what a new activity that students might be interested in, or a new activity that is available because of technology. So when we were designing the virtual camp, we have this Arts Connection class that is a part of the in-person camp as well. And it just takes music and connects it to something else. So in the past, it's been, say, it could be music connected to painting or to poetry or to videography. But some things that were available this past year, because the students were at home and they had all their full range of technology available to them, we came up with two new classes. And the first is music creation, where they create music on their laptop or other electronic device using a program that they, you know, that they have or that we can suggest. And then by the end of the week, they all had these really unusual and interesting pieces. And it's not like there were lots of wild and crazy songs, like, you know, sounds going zing or, you know, just crazy stuff. It wasn't that at all. It was some really melodic stuff. And so I'm going to say it was kind of more similar to like something you would hear from John Williams, but again, not exactly John Williams either. And so anyway, those performances were really interesting to hear. Now, of course, the performances is actually a recording of what is on their electronic device. So that wouldn't have been possible a few years ago. Another interesting class was one that I taught where the students created their own variation on the La Folia theme. And La Folia is a series of chord progressions, and then just one chord in a measure, and then you can devise whatever interesting melody that would go with the chord progression on top of it. So the class was, what we taught was how to come up with something you could do, and then you were able to use a track that we provided that had a piano backing to record with that so that you could hear how your piece sounded with accompaniment right away in your own space. And then, of course, the performance of that was also a recording of the student, which we actually watched on TV.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. So we've talked about how we continue to offer some of the best experiences while being virtual, and all of that stuff sounded amazing. But let's talk a little bit about some advantages to actually attending a chamber music camp in general.
Yes. So most people think of the musical advantages only, and I like to think of the non-musical advantages. So one, you know, non-musical advantage, although it's an advantage to music as well, is the attention to detail. When you're sitting in a group, you know, you have to remember when it's time to play. So if you're the soloist, the piano just follows you, or maybe you're just playing a solo by yourself. So you can decide when you want to start. But in a chamber music group, possibly you're not the first person to start the piece. Maybe you have to wait a few seconds. So you really have to concentrate and make notes in your music what has to happen and what you have to listen to before you start. And that's just one of the many details. So the rehearsals are just spent, you know, ironing out those details, practicing them with each other. So the attention to detail tends to carry into all aspects of life. Once students start to look at it in their music, they might even, you know, pay attention to like the detail of, say, cleaning up their room, or maybe getting all the answers filled in on a test. You know, every student's unique, but it really does carry over. Now, another, you know, skill that students get while attending camp is the teamwork skill. So everyone knows in work, you know, you have to be on a team for this and that and everything else. And of course, then you have to get along with everyone. And sometimes you really don't agree with them, or you think someone's really wrong. And so you have to figure out, how am I going to say this nicely? Because we cannot proceed in this direction. So anyway, a chamber music coaching gives you a lot of opportunity to practice those skills. Because the truth is, you know, sometimes you have a member, maybe they're playing too loud. They just like to play loud. And the truth is, they sound great loud, but the music says soft. So because their natural tendency is loud, they might not always play, you know, play what they're supposed to do. So you have to become, you know, an expert at saying, please play softly many different ways and politely, of course. And then I also think that for camp, you know, we have the recital opportunity at the end. And, you know, that is a chance to get up in front of your peers and show your hard work. I think this is akin to a presentation at a job, or it's similar to when you actually interview for the job. You know, when you interview for a job, of course, you've practiced what you're going to say to answers or what you think might be asked at the interview. But when you're at the interview, it's your opportunity to bring the whole package together so, you know, that they hire you. So anyway, the concert is when you're, you know, in junior high and high school, it's an opportunity to practice those skills.
Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff. Now that I'm thinking back on it and everything that I went through as a, I didn't play chamber music too terribly often, but everything you're saying, I absolutely agree with. Now, we've talked a lot about Opus and all the advantages of chamber music camp, but I'm wondering, especially with the 2021 Opus registration coming up just in soon here, what might the schedule look like for the 2021 Opus camp?
Yes, for 2021, we intend to be virtual. Now, we really don't know where the pandemic is headed. So if by chance it were an option to have some in-person rehearsals at the end of camp or an in-person concert, then we would add that. But currently the plan is that we will be online. And so students that sign up would expect to 9:30 to log in and attend a session of announcements, some stretching, some fun. And then they would head to their coaching at 10 o'clock. Now there would be a coaching at 10 and a coaching at 11. And we always do give a break, of course, about 10 minutes between each activity so that students can take care of anything that needs to be done at home. Then at noon, there's a lunch break. At 1 o'clock, we have a really fun hour. It's called Opus Live Chat. And Drew, it's with you.
Hey, all right. That will be a fun hour.
Yes. And Drew, from my perspective, I looked forward to those hours every day. It was just a lot of fun. So anyway, our students usually came back very renewed for their 2 o'clock and their 3 o'clock rehearsals. And after that, they were free for the day. Sometimes, you know, we suggested they might practice a little bit, but otherwise they had the evening free to have some fun. And then we just did everything again the next day.
Yeah. Awesome. And it runs for 1 week, correct?
It is for a week. Yes, we start on Monday and then we will have the concert either in person, perhaps on the Saturday, or if it's going to be a virtual concert, we're going to have a watch party a week after camp is ended. And what happens at the watch party is the product of the camp, and we teach the students how to do this. They submit recordings of what they've been working on, and then we combine them, and then we end up with the performances. But the tech takes a little bit to get all done. So that is the plan for the week. Now, that said, I have to mention is that we send the music out, I don't know, 3-4 weeks before camp starts, and we ask the students to start learning it. And then we also have some playing checkups with a faculty member. And what we do with the playing checkups is we just help identify early on whether the student needs like a little extra coaching on the fingering or the rhythm or any questions they might have.
And I will speak from experience that those watch parties are, they really are parties. They're just a blast to go to. And it's just a lot of fun to see what all the campers do in that week. So let's, we heard all about Opus and these advantages and all these wonderful programs that they're putting on. Let's take a step back. And Mara, I actually want to kind of ask you a little bit about music and your specific thing. We always like to end these podcasts with a practice tip or a practice technique. And you could probably write a book about your specific practice tips and techniques. So what is one thing, if first thing that comes to mind, or one excellent help, especially now, maybe that everything is virtual, what's something that you would offer as a suggestion for a practice idea?
Well, my favorite current practice suggestion, besides all the ordinary things like do what your teacher said, you know, use the metronome, all that stuff, is to record something. And being that Valentine's Day is just around the corner, it could be your Valentine for family that's out of town. So all you need to do is, I mean, there's so many devices that record these days, is I think a student just practice some of whatever they've been playing. And then I think they should, you know, turn the recording on and, you know, say, hey, grandma, I want you to hear what I've been doing. And then just play your piece for them. And then, you know, turn the mic off and then send it. But by doing the recording, you'll find many details that maybe, oh, you want to fix. Like you heard that maybe, you know, the rhythm in measure 23 does need some adjusting. And so, you know, maybe your first recording is not your last recording. And so anyway, it's a great way for students to self-evaluate, you know, what they are playing. And then, of course, it makes the grandma very happy.
Yeah, especially now that we've become so accustomed to Zoom and the screens that, you know, we can just recording now almost seems like a breeze.
Yes.
Mara, I really wanted to thank you again for the time that you took out of your day and helping us explore kind of that deeper side of Opus that we don't really get to talk about too much. So thank you again. It was an absolute blast to have you on the show. And everyone listening, join us again next week for more exciting content coming to you from our Magnum Opus podcast. Stay tuned, everybody.